Boker Tov, everybody. Welcome to class 33 on the Siddur. Hopefully, please God, today we'll finish up Mizmor Shir Chanukah Bayit David, and we'll begin Baruch She'amar. We'll get really into Pesukei D'Zimra. As we discussed last week, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Bayit David, the song of David on the dedication of the temple, is the sort of the bridge between Rabbi Yishmael Omer, between the first part of the service, whatever you want to call it, the Korbanot, the Brachot. It's totally separate. And nothing related to prayer. That has to do with learning Torah and thanking God for, you know, natural walking and having clothes and shoes and all that, as we have discussed. Pesukei D'Zimra, as we mentioned last week, is the introduction to prayer. It's getting us into mood. It's not prayer, it's an act of piety. Rav Yossi said, I want to be, if I should merit that I should be like the pious people who sing the praises of God every day, say halal. Not the halal for Yontif, but the halal of Pesukei D'Zimra. And it's really the saying of Pesukei D'Zimra, I don't think was really established in Talmudic times. It came much later, and we mentioned you can skip it if you're late for shul, different things. It's an act of piety. It's a nice thing to do. It's a beautiful act of piety. I mean, the halakhic authorities say you should say Pesukei D'Zimra slower than you pray. You pray asking God for my needs. I shouldn't sit there for 10 minutes asking God for my needs. As a matter of fact, the Talmud says if somebody prays for too long, it's bad. Because God's going to say, that's how the Talmud presents it very, you know, geographically. Who's this guy? He's prays for, he's talking to me, shining for 15 minutes for wealth and health. Let me check. This guy, he's not such a tzaddik. I'm not going to give him. So when we pray, we're not supposed to pray so quickly. Not supposed to pray so quick. I'm so slowly. Ask for wisdom and for health and wealth. Oh, very nice. But not to sit there, God, please, please, please. God's going to say, whoa, should I help him? When it comes to praising the Pesukei D'Zimra, for sure. For Pesukei D'Zimra, you should take your time, benachat, song, sing it. That's the way it should be done. And that's where you learn it. That you are singing the praises. Pesukei D'Zimra, it's a zemer. It's a song. So it's different from tefillah, but it's the introduction and the preparation, as we discussed last week, simcha. It gets us in a mood of joy and happiness. By the way, there is an interesting debate. I mean, I forget who, you know, one Hasidic Rebbe said this, another said the other thing. What about al-chet? Should you say al-chet quickly or slowly? It's kind of, forget the al-chet. I mean, that's, you know, is that something we should really, we did this sin and, you know, sit there for 10 minutes, think all the things we may have done wrong, that zilzul horim morim or masav matan, or no, we should just, you know, we don't want to dwell on our sins. We just want to go through it. That's a fascinating discussion. It's really the same discussion that's going to come up in shuls tomorrow. We're going to read all the curses. We spoke about that last night, the tochacha, but we didn't say. So I imagine in your shul, please tell me if your shul has a different custom, that in most shuls, they say it very softly and say it like God shouldn't hear, kind of like, you know, it's done softly and quickly. And in many shuls, they don't even give an aliyah. That's a problem. The halachic authorities say they don't want anybody to be called up for the Torah. So many shuls have the custom to give it to the Baal Korei, the person who's reading the Torah. So give him the aliyah. He's there. Some shuls have probably a mistaken custom, is they stop the laning. I don't know if they do this in Vayikra also or just in Kitavo. They stop the laning right before, and then nobody gets the aliyah. So the halakhic authorities say that's incorrect. But the reason for that is, you know, nobody should be up there when they read the curses. Who wants to get that aliyah? So you know, but that whether you should read it quietly and quickly, some people say it should be the exact opposite. If the idea of the curses is to warn the people about God's punishment if we do something wrong, you want to yell it loud and clear. So these are interesting debates. But everybody, they're philosophical. It's how your mindset. And of course, both are right. You know, for certain people, this works, that works. We discussed last week where the Hasidim prayer was more important, for the Misnagdim learning was more important. We have different models. Thank God Judaism is not a monolithic, and there are different paths that one can find. That the Eluv Elu Divra Elim Chaim, those are they're both valid. But everybody does agree, Pesukei D'Zimra should be said slowly. Today, you know, what can I tell you? That's why I always recommend that we should split, especially in our school system, we should split Pesukei D'Zimra into five. and take five times as long to say one instead of rushing through. You know, most schools, I don't know, the schools here, they give you 32 minutes to dumb because they have a tough schedule. They got a double program. It's hard. So how do they schedule? So dumbing goes quickly. You know, and since most of the kids hate dumbing anyways, dumbing is the, as Rabbi Gemara here said, the Vietnam of the school system. It's very hard. Prayer is very hard. Walking the shul, people talk. It is hard. You have to work on it. So the schools, you know, let's just get through it quickly. It would be much better if they sang the whole thing out loud. We're like in the Sparta community, every word out loud. Every word out loud takes you over an hour. Okay, so cut out half the words. That's okay. That's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. Tov ma'at im kavana mehar be'li kavana. Good to say a lot, to say a little with more intent, and to say a lot with less intent. Okay, so that's just, now we're beginning, you know, Psukei Zimra. And Mizmor Shir is the introduction to the introduction. Psukei Zimra begins at Baruch Shamar, and Mizmor Shir introduces, Psukei Zimra. Now, by the way, it is interesting. Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Psukei Zimra is framed by Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. And the main parts of Psukei Zimra are Ashrei, from 145 to healing 145 to 150 in the five hallelujahs. That's the Yehi Chavod, Hodu, Azishah. That was added later. And that's why when you come late, you only say part of Psukei Zimra, that's the more important part. Ashrei is the most important. Then 1, 3, and 5. The hallelujah is 1, 3, and 5. Then 2 and 4. There's a whole system. What you do for people who come late, you learn those halach as well. You got to learn what you skip when you come late to shul. But what's fascinating is Baruch She'amar Yishtabach, the brachot, that introduce and conclude Psukei Zimra are post-Talmudic brachot. We went through the beginning classes, we had the number of classes, the 15th Birchot, HaShachar Noten Nesach, Bibin Alech, Bibin Yil Ben Laila, Bokei Echidrim, Malbishon Rimet, they're all mentioned in the Talmud. They're all mentioned in the Talmud. And a lot of these things, but Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach are not mentioned in the Talmud, which is actually fascinating. Some people, what's the authority to introduce a bracha after the Talmud? So that's the same question. They have Shasani Kirtzono, I think they have that debate, if women should say that. Some women say, well, that bracha, when the men say Shalom Sani Isha, I don't know if we actually even spoke about this back then. When the men say Shalom Sani Isha, whatever that bracha means, that's for, we discussed it other times. The women say Shasani Kirtzono, God made me according to his will. So some people says, some people don't like that bracha. Leave that aside. That's not the issue here. The issue is, can they say it? That's a made up bracha. It's post-Talmudic. And there is a sense generally when you say a bracha is a serious matter. It's not necessarily, that's not the real violation of taking God's name in vain. Taking God's name in vain is when you go to a court of law and you take an oath in God's name and you lie in court. That's taking God's name in vain. We have a rabbinic or an extension of that law. You shouldn't say God's name unnecessarily. So that's the question. How far do we extend that? Is that unnecessary? Well, why can't rabbis today make up a bracha or whatever? So today people don't do it, but there was that in times of history. But that's Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Okay, let's finish up Mizmor Shir. So we mentioned last week, okay, Mizmor Shir, the overriding theme, we'll see it really divides into two. What's the connect? You know, it's King David saying it either for his son, for Shlomo HaMelech, when they dedicated, we say to give credit. He did all the work. He gets the credit. That's a beautiful idea, even though he couldn't build a temple. He was a warrior. Nonetheless, he was he who would save the foundation, whether he's doing it for a future temple, whatever it is. It's the idea of the temple introduces prayer. But like all of Sefer Tehillim, pretty much like all of Sefer Tehillim, the Tehillim are generic. In other words, like the David B'Shana Toah Tamol Livnei Avimelech. Like David, we say it every Shabbos morning. We have all these Lamaseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. The children of Korach, we say before Rosh Hashanah, we say seven times. That's Korach. What's Korach doing there before Tiat Shofar? So all these things, when you read the Mizmor, you don't really know what the connection is to Korach or David, but that's fine. They probably had something in mind. They were saying it for a particular reason. King David was saying this Mizmor for a particular reason. But we, reading it later, we don't know what the reason he's saying it. And that's, of course, why it's in Tehillim. Anything that relates to an individual doesn't get recorded. The Talmud said there were thousands, I think they say ki flying ki yotzei Mitzrayim. I think that's the exaggerated statement. Davo like the people who left Egypt. That's how many prophets there were in the Jewish people. But only 55 of them, 48 men and 7 women, get written down in our Tanakh, because the other 4 million, you know, were only relevant for their generation. We don't really care about those people. We care. And now, so all the prophecies that were said, they're only recorded in Tanakh because they're for us. They're prophecies for us today. They may have originally been said thousands of years ago, but they have a meaning and a message. So David HaMelech, when the Tehillim all have to have a sort of universal generic theme. And that's, of course, why Sefer Tehillim is the book of the Jewish people. We say it at any funerals, happy occasions, sad occasions. Prayer is Tehillim, of course, reflects the ups and downs of life. And that's David HaMelech expresses in other people. The Gemara says there were 10 composers to Tehillim. That clearly wasn't written by David HaMelech. We mentioned last week, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, the Talmud claims was written by Adam HaRishon, Adam. So a different David HaMelech wrote most of them. Whatever. So, but they reflect the ups and downs of life. So let's go through a few of the verses, which is, by the way, somebody correct me if they know of the information I was reading in Rabbi Wogelmuth. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was the one who taught tefillah at Maimonides for many years. I believe he was a graduate of the Hildesheim Rabbinical Seminary, if I'm not mistaken, the great rabbinic seminary in Germany. And he came to America and he taught in Maimonides for many years. I think he passed away 15 years ago or so. I think he lived to be in his 90s. And he taught tefillah at Maimonides. That's Rav Soloveitchik insisted in his great wisdom that we shouldn't just daven, we should learn about the daven. So they recently published a book that basically he was in his later years. He wasn't so well. They read in the introduction. So he dictated the book to a couple of people, you know, and they sort of wrote it out for him. And so in the there, I believe he says that Mizmor Shir Chanukah by the David was said by Natan Sharansky as he was being freed in 1986 and at the Berlin Wall. And if you remember the famous story, the Russians told him to go straight. And of course, he therefore walked in a zigzag. And he always had his Tehillim with him. You know, that was what kept one playing chess and different things that kept his mind from not going nuts in the, you know, in solitary confinement in the Gulag. In Russia. But when he was released from prison, it's such an insight that that's what he writes. I assume it's true. He said, I should ask Rachel, actually. He said, Mizmor Shir Chanukah by the David, because this reflects God saving us. That's the first half. God saving from my affliction. God, you have turned my affliction into happiness. That's a beautiful thing to say when getting released of jail, like Birchat Agomo. So that's okay, introduction. So we discussed last week, we're going to go through it quickly now, the text itself, if you have it in front of you, in a Siddur. So the first line, Arim Hashem ki divitani bilosti machtoi bali, we sing, the Romaim is to raise up. It was what it literally means, Romaim was to raise up, but they tried to hear exalt. Okay, God, because you have lifted us, Dilitani Dalo, you've taken us up, and our enemies couldn't rejoice. That fits very well to saying when you get out of jail, our enemies couldn't rejoice over us. So we mentioned this was the verse said by when the people brought the Bikurim, when they brought the first fruit to the temple, when they brought the first fruit to the Mitzvah Bikurim. This was the pasuk they said, which again, which I guess connects it to Mizmor Shir Chanukah by the David. So the first few verses talk about how God has helped us. Hashem Elohai Shiviti Elech V'Tirfeni, God, we turn to you and you have healed us. Elitani means Sheol Nafshi. You've raised us from Sheol Nafshi, the depths. Sheol is we often use as a grave, Sheol, Yardei Sheol, right? You've lifted me from the grave, my soul from the grave. Chiitani, you've given me life, Miyardei Bor, from those who go into the pit. So what's the Sheol Nafshi and Miyardei Bor? So I think, especially in our generation, where thank God we're more aware of it, I don't know, we're doing enough about it. I would say Sheol Nafshi is mental health and Yardei Bor is physical health. In other words, Sheol Nafshi, my soul, the affliction of the soul is what we would call in modern English mental health issues. that there, it's not a physical, it may have a physical manifestation, but the problem is rooted in the internal of the person. So I think that's, God, you've saved me, or you've raised me up from my depression, my mental health issues. You have given me life from those who go into the pit. That's a physical thing. They threw Yosef into the pit. Now, once, so that's the beginning. The first three verses are thanking God for saving us from the travails of life. What David HaMelech is referring to could be many things, right? As I said, the Radak says it's referring to, it's a reference to that he was forgiven for his sin with Bathsheba. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And it, because each one of us has to say it, what works for us. Right. It's very hard. You know, these things are very God, you know, do we really see God as healing us? And, you know, and that's always the tension. You know, the Ramban has the Ripley's, believe it or not, the Ramban says, and everybody agrees, nobody should do this. No, nobody. We have nobody alive today. But the Ramban says a righteous person shouldn't go to a doctor. Shouldn't go to a doctor for internal disease. That's God is our healer. God gave permission. That's Verapoyi Rafe. The Gemara wants to know, how do we have permission to heal? The Gemara is bothered by the fact, if God makes you sick, what right do we have to go? So we know that's true in all of, you know, if God does this, why can we do that? But we can. We have an answer to that question. The answer to that question by healing is Verapoyi Rafe. The Pasuk says, if I punch somebody in Mishpatim, one of the things they have to do is I have to pay for a doctor. I have to heal. And Verapoyi Rafe means you have to heal many times. He heals, he gets sick. Like Hashem Tashib by a lost object, return. Azov Tazov, the Torah very often uses double languages. Naton Titein, give. You have to give staka to the same person more than once if he needs it. The Torah often doubles the phrase to tell us that you have to do it more than once. So, but the Gemara is bothered by the fact that maybe there is a problem on going to a human doctor, at least for an internal illness. Did they distinguish between an illness afflicted by man? Somebody punches you in the face. Okay, so that's not God inflicted. But if you have, God forbid, cancer, some other thing, or maybe today, whatever, I don't want to say lifestyle choices, it doesn't matter. But conceptually, the Ramban says that a very righteous person should rely on God. So, but he admits we don't have people like that. So there is this sort of notion that God is our healer because we are permitted and 100% obligated to go to doctors. We say refrain when we pray, but we go to the doctor, you know. So it's a little bit hard for us to recognize that, you know, God determines who's going to live, who's going to die. The Gemara says that by Rav Chanina ben Dosa. The Gemara in Brachot says that when people were sick, they would go to Rav Chanina ben Dosa. It's actually in the Mishnah, it's not even in the Gemara. And the Gemara, I think it's the end of the last Mishnah, I think in the fifth parak in Brachot. So he said, Im shigurat tefillah b'fi, if my prayer goes fluently and smoothly. Remember, they didn't have a sitter. They didn't have a fixed text. So you go to somebody, can you pray for me? So if, you know, he came up with the prayer fluently, he knows it's mikabel. He knows his prayer will be accepted in heaven. And if he stammers in his prayer, he can't get the right word. You know, so this is a concept that we find very difficult in the modern world. But there is this notion that, you know, our prayers really do impact on. And I don't have to tell you, you know, when people get sick, what do? They call a community gathering sometimes. They say to heal them for the person. Okay, so this represents this idea. But that's David HaMelech is saying, God, you have saved me from my mental affliction and my physical afflictions. There, the next few verses, therefore, is we have to praise God. Zamru Lashem Chasida Behodu L'Zecher Kodesho. Let's sing Zamru, to sing the song, the piety of God. The pious people should sing to God, Behodu L'Zecher Kodesho, and give thanks to Hodot, to give to His Holiness. Ki rega ba'apo chayim b'rtzano b'er l'rabbi. Ki rega ba'apo. So what is ki rega ba'apo? God gets, it's an interesting verse. God does get angry occasionally, i.e. he gets angry, he'll make you sick, he'll do something bad. But that is a fleeting anger. At night, I may go to bed in tears because something negative. But when I wake up in the morning, God's going to, you know, overnight, things will improve. But when I go to sleep, I'm crying. Night is always associated with fear and trepidation and negativity. It's associated with emunah. When we daven after Shema. So in the morning we say Emet v'Yatziv v'Nachon v'Kayam v'Yashar, right? At night we say Emet v'Emunah. We talk about faith because you have to have faith. Darkness represents the absence of God, kiviyachol, right? We don't see, light is such a powerful symbol. It's the first thing God created in the world, right? I mentioned before in the temple, I think in our first class, 6 months ago, more than 6 months ago, I mentioned the idea that we open up a siddur. Every siddur begins at shachrit, even though the day begins at mariv. You open up a Friday night siddur, it begins at mariv. Right, you open up your Shabbos siddur. Right, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that everybody ignores today. You're not supposed to have a siddur with Shabbos and weekday in the same siddur. You should have two separate siddurim. Why? Because you use the Shabbos siddur one in 7 days. You use this whether one in 6 days. You're going to have to throw it out. It gets ruined 6 times faster. So you have to put it into Shemus. But the Shabbos half of the siddur is perfectly fine. But it's, you know, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheno. You know, it's in the same siddur. So you put it into Shemus. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. You should print a separate. So I grew up, the Birnbaum had the Birnbaum weekday and the Birnbaum. But today, Art Scroll Koran, I actually am holding right now a Koran weekday siddur. It's only weekday siddur. But which is good. That's the way it should be. But, you know, whatever. But people don't always listen when it's not convenient. So, and the Friday night siddur is always begins at night, right? The Shabbos siddur begins at mincha, because that's when we come to shul. Always have shachrit after marv, the daily siddur. So, okay, because we associate by day. But I mentioned Rabbi Silver, I heard from him. I thought it's such a beautiful insight. I mean, the reason. But he said it's because in the temple, the day started in the morning. Everybody knows the Jewish day starts at night, but that's only outside of the temple. It's inside that when you bring a sacrifice, you eat that sacrifice for 1 day. So if I bring it on Tuesday afternoon, 1 day ends on Wednesday morning. Then the rabbi said, don't go all the way to morning, eat it by midnight, because you may by mistake extend it. But 1 day ends in the morning. The temple always, temple days begin in the morning. Outside of the temple, they begin at night. And I said, what's the difference? So the temple is the place of the divine presence. That's where light is. God created light. That's where it began. So in the temple, everything begins with light. Outside of the temple, our mission in this world is to bring light to the world. So the world is a world of darkness. God puts man into the world. It's a dark world. And we have to imitate God. We're created with Tzelem Elohim. So what's the first thing God did? He created light. So that's the first thing we have to do. Light is Torah. Light is a direction, how to live your life. At night, we don't have that. We don't have that light. So night is faith. So in the Beit HaMikdash, so he said, therefore, the Siddur is reflecting, prayer originates in the temple. So the Siddur reflects the temple. And therefore, the Siddur begins at Shachrit. It doesn't begin at Mari. Shabbat, even in the temple, began at night. Even though the day Shabbat is, I'm not sure that same thing is true, actually. It ended because in the temple, they violated Shabbat anyways. They brought Korbanot. You never brought Korbanot at night, which also ties into this theme. You were never allowed to bring a sacrifice at night. The only daytime, that's the time we come closer to God. The nighttime is we're distant from God. It's emunah. We have faith in God. So we go to bed, be'er v'yolim bechti, u'lebokarinah. When we wake up in joy. Now, what's kirega bapo? God gets angry. So that's the Gemara in Bracha says that God gets angry every once in a while for good reason. We make him angry, you know. So the Gemara says it's a whole discussion. So these discussions are so powerful. You have to think about, you know, we can't just read them literally. Bilam Harasha, you know, Balak and Bilam. Bilam, what was he doing? How's he going to curse the Jewish? Ma'akov, kiloakov, el, how can I curse God? God doesn't allow us to curse the people. The Lord said, no. God gets angry. So Bilam, his mission was to time his curse at the time that God got angry. That's what the Gemara says. And had Bilam, God was very nice. God didn't let him time the curse at the right time. But had Bilam succeeded, that's what the Gemara seems to say. Had Bilam succeeded in timing that curse at the right time, then tragically it would have taken effect. Because Ki Rega Bapo, God gets angry. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean for us? It means there is time to get angry. There is a time. Even though the Rambam does write, actually, the Rambam writes the two character traits we shouldn't have a middle path, right? The golden mean, based on Aristotle. The Rambam writes there are two exceptions to the golden mean. Arrogance and humility. You should have zero arrogance, be totally humble and angry. You should never get angry. Nonetheless, I don't know. I don't think the Rambam, I think, I don't know if the Rambam would agree, but but it seems to me that kirega apo, that if God gets angry once in a while, there's a place, but it's like 1 second in a day, like very, very, very little. So maybe it's batel b'shishim. The Rambam says it doesn't count, but whatever. But there is this notion of God getting angry, but that's a very temporary thing. Okay, now here we begin a little bit a transition. Vaniyamarti b'shalti. Okay, so I had problems and God helped me. Beautiful. So what did I say? David HaMelech says, things are going well. When things go well, we forget about God. That's human nature. That's the way it is. Vaniyamarti b'shalti. When I sat b'shalva, when I was sitting in peace, when God had cured me, bal amot le'olam. I thought this is going to be like this forever. These things go on forever. When things are good, when the real estate market, when the stock market is going up, nobody thinks about when it's going to happen when the market goes down. That's why that's how the market works, human psychology. This housing markets go crazy. So nobody thinks, everybody knows there's a recession. Everybody knows what goes up must come down, but nobody thinks. This time is different. It's always different. The good times are going to continue all the time. Maybe we need that. Maybe that's necessary for human nature. It's good to be optimistic, but it's bad to get overconfident. And that's what David says. I say, great, God cured me, beautiful. The rest, the 120, everything's beautiful. And then David, Hashem v'tzoncha hamadati lahari oz, he starts up an echaiti, well, God, you have different plans. Hashem v'tzoncha, God, my being well is only through your will. It's only b'rtzoncha hamadata. You made me stand through your will, b'harari oz, to demonstrate your strength. Yistarta panecha. But God, if you do hester panim, if you hide your face, and that's considered the greatest curse in the Torah, hester panim, when God hides his face from the Jewish people. V'anochi hester panai. The time of Esther, that was the time of, that's Esther's name even, but at the time of Esther, God withdraws. There's no more prophecy. Hester panim. Right. That's often used in theological terms. You know, how do we explain the Holocaust? Not that we can explain it, but God sometimes turns his face from the Jewish people. So David HaMelech says, let's not get too overconfident and cocky and think everything's great. I said, no. You know, when things go well, we take all the credits. When things don't go well, we blame God. So David HaMelech is warning us, the Torah warns all the time, when things are going well, remember, that's the time it's most important to remember God. And that's the time when it's the hardest to remember God. Right? I'm smart. I did good investments. So that's why I made money. You know, it's about my great doing. So he starts to panecha hayiti nival. Nival means like behala. I think that term comes up in the Tochacha. Behala, there's confusion. Oh my God, I don't know what to do. Without God's involvement in the world's a confused place. I think the world is, I don't know, the world's a pretty confused place today. So, like I say, our job is to bring light to this confused world, this dark world. But that's what David HaMelech says. Elach Hashem Akrav, Elach Hashem Atchanan. Therefore, when there's Hester Panim, now I realize there's a possibility of Hester Panim, Elech Hashem Akrav, we'll call out to God, Elach Hashem Atchanan. And you notice there a lot of things are parallelism. Stamru Lashem Chasidah, Vodu Zechotra. I mean, that's poetry. You say the same thing, alliteration, you know, you say the same idea. Elecha Shemakra, I call out you, God, Vel Adonai, Adchanan, and to God I will beseech. Kriya and Adchanan. So not exactly the same, but it's the same idea that Ekra, in biblical Hebrew, it's Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. That's something Avraham Avinu did a lot of, calling out on God's name. That's sort of the mission. Vayikra, we say it by the Yud Gimel Mido, to call out is to make God's presence known in the world. So Hashem, it seems to me, Elech Hashem Ekra means that's our obligation to call out and to praise God to the world. Vel Hashem Etchanan, to beseech God, that's my personal coming to God for the things that I need and the things that I watch. God, what good is it if I'm going to die? God, what do you gain? Why does it bother you if I'm going to live to 120? Like what? Because so, you know, can the dust give thanks? Can it tell the truth of God? Once a person is dead, that's it. No more mitzvot. They can't do anything else. So David, in other words, what David HaMelech, he's saying to God, for your sake. That is Moshe Rabbeinu's argument. Why should God not destroy the Jewish people after the sin of the golden calf? Because what are the nations going to say? They're going to say, Lami Amru Mitzrayim. Why will the Egyptians say, oh, God, he's not so powerful? Yeah, he could take them out of Egypt, but I saw what's going to be in the desert, the Canaan. They can't go in. God's not powerful. We, right? And Yecheskel Hanavi says it. Why does God bring us back to the land of Israel? We're not so pious, right? Why, Rav Soloveitchik, I've mentioned before, why did our generation merit the return to the land of Israel? The Vilna Gaon's generation was more meritorious than our generation. The Chafetz Chaim was more meritorious. Why our generation? So Rav Soloveitchik said, we needed it. We needed it. Those generations could survive. Today, God forbid, with so many Jews are connected to the state of Israel, is hundreds of thousands of Jews who would have come to America or whatever and totally assimilated, now live a total Jewish culture, even if they're totally Michal Shabbos, even they ate trachis. And, Jews in Israel, the culture is totally Jewish. And so many non-religious Jews keep kosher. So Israel is what is the lifeline of the Jewish people. When you don't, other generations didn't need it so much. So, what does Yecheskel Hanavi say? You aren't so righteous. I'm bringing you back to Israel because it's a Chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of my name. Because the nation will say, look at God, he abandoned the Jewish people. There's a Holocaust. He doesn't care about the Jewish people. He doesn't care. So the return to the state of Israel is a sanctification of God's name. So that's what David HaMelech is saying. Well, what are you going to kill me for? What are you going to let me die? Just let me praise you. If I'm alive, I can praise God. From the depths of the grave, nothing gets happened. Shema Hashem v'chaneni Hashem ayeh ozerli. I think that's a song. No? No. Maybe not. Shema Hashem, God, listen to me.
Rabbi's sons.
I'm sorry?
No. Rabbi's sons.
I'm sorry?
The Rabbi's sons group.
Is that the Torah? Shema Hashem Echaneini Hashem Ayeh Ozerli. Is that? Hashem Ayeh Ozerli. Yeah, I have to remember all these songs. Okay. Anyways, okay. Right, we turn into this song. What do we know? We know what we sing. I know Shira Malach by heart because we sing it. That's why I say we should sing it. Tukit Isir is meant to be sung. I apologize. I'm not singing the whole thing. Maybe I should apologize when I do sing. Okay, whatever. Okay, hafachta. Now, then we switch. So God, okay, we got overconfident. God has healed us. We have to praise God. But don't think can go back. What life is a circle, and you can be on top and you can be on the bottom. That's the Torah says. Torah actually says that's why we get stuck. One of the reasons we get stuck is because I forget the exact phrase, because one day you'll become poor. In other words, right today, you're wealthy. In two generations, three generations, you'll become poor. I think less than 10% of businesses make it into generation three, right? We all know, I'm sure you know people whose grandparents were super, super wealthy, great grandparents, and the wealth disappeared. They lost it in the market, the depression, the business went out, whatever. It's very hard to keep a business going forever. And it's a galgal hachozer ba'olam. So right now, that's the sort of the selfish reason for giving, like charity. I give you because you need, and when I need, you'll give me, or you'll give my children. That's a more selfish reason as opposed to giving because you need. But that is very true. That is that's a motivation. So, don't think it's always going to be great. Things can turn on a dime. And God, please don't turn your face away from us. It's for your good, for your good. Let us allow you to praise. And then the last two lines is David Melech is sort of saying, okay, great. God, I'm going to praise you again. You turn my mispeit, you turn my literally eulogy to a machol. What's a machol? A machol is a dance. The macholi, to dance around. Pitachta saki, you open my stocks. The sackcloth, the clothes of a mourner, by Yabasak Ba'efer, right? But to Azraini Simchan, you girded me in joy. So it's the Vinafochu, right? We switched from Hespe to Machuav. The Gemara, the last passage in Masechet Ta'anit, Ta'anit talks about the fast days. Not only one Mishnah talks about Shiva, Sabra, Tammuz, and Tishbav, only at the end. Talks about the fast days because of no rain. And the system of 13 fast days, that's the theme of the Masechet. Tanit for lack of rain, and then the Gemara is a whole chapter. There's a plague, you have a fast. Animals are dying left and right. It's not just rain. other, you see wolves. The Gemara says, you see a wolf, a wild animal, you have to have a fast, whether it's one or two. Oh my God, they once saw a wolf in Ashkelon and they declared a whole fast because, wild animals, that's a big problem. So all of Masechet Tanit is about modern day, it's about fasting. At the end, it says, okay, by the way, we have Shiva Esrei Tammuz and Tisha B'Av also. Five things happen on Shiva Esrei Tammuz, five things happen on Tisha B'Av. And then, so the Gemara, so Tanit is sort of a very negative. And the Rambam writes that when you fast and you say, it happened, these things happen. A Jew is not allowed to say that. It happened because we sinned. Again, this is very difficult for us. And God forbid that anybody should say, with people, they have a pipe. We don't have any prophecy. We don't know why God is doing this, right? But nonetheless, right. Rav Soloveitchik always said, right, by the keynote, Jews don't ask lama. Remember, there are no vowels anywhere. We ask lema, for what purpose? When suffering happens, we don't ask, we don't know why. We can't know that. We don't know. God didn't tell us. We can ask lema. What can I learn? When the rabbis say the temple was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam, they're saying, what can we learn from the fact that the temple was destroyed? No, it's true. If we internally weak, it's easier to take over. But the rabbis weren't giving geopolitical analysis. The rabbis were saying, and they weren't even saying it was a punishment. They were saying, lema, what are we going to learn from the destruction of the temple? So they looked around and said, what's the problem? That's why you have so many different reasons for the destruction of the temple, at least nine different reasons in Mara. Because every rabbi looked in his generation, right? That's the role of a drasha. That's what a drasha is. You take something in the Torah and you reapply it to your generation. But when you apply it, it applies differently. It's not the same. So in this generation, why was the temple destroyed? Because of Sinat Chinam. In this generation, why was it destroyed? Because they didn't respect Torah scholars. In this generation, it was destroyed because they didn't act lifnei mishurat hadin. All of these are reasons that Gemara gives for the destruction and the exile. What do you mean? Is it one or the other? The rabbis don't have a clue. Of course they don't have a clue. We don't know why God did it. But what we do know is what message should our generation take from it. And every generation should take a different message. That's why Shiva Esrei Tammuz and Tisha B'Av at the end. So fast days, raining. So anyways, the last piece of Talmud in Masechet Tanit is at Amar Rav Elazar, Latid Labo, in the future, God is going to make a machol, going to make a dance for the tzaddikim, and God is going to be in the middle of the circle, at the wedding. You put the chas and chal in the middle, and we dance around. So that's the end of Tanit. Tanit is talking about the negative, the fasting, the problems, exactly what this mizmor is, right? And then, but the positive, it comes to positive. In the future, God will make a machol. He will make a place of dancing and singing for the tzaddikim, and God is going to join in because God suffers with us, imo anochi b'tzara, and God rejoices with us. And then the last pasuk, leman yizamercha chavod v'lo yidom Hashem alokai v'lolom odecha. God, leman. The word leman means what? What does leman mean? Anybody?
In order to.
Right. So leman means for the purpose of, as opposed to because. In other words, leman is not giving you a reason, it's giving you the purpose. Why it happened, not why it happened because cause and effect, but why it happened, what I was saying before, what we should learn from this, for the sake of. So why is God turning my affliction into a song, my hespeh to a machol? So leman yizamercha kavod. David HaMelech is talking in order that we can sing the honor of God, the lo yidom, and not be silent, not be silent. Right? Silence is despair. Right? Just yesterday somebody mentioned was talking about a moment of silence. Some people say it's a non-Jewish idea. What means a non-Jewish idea? It's in the Torah. Vayidom Aaron, with the greatest tragedy. Aaron lost his two kids. Vayidom Aaron, he was silent. Silence means you have no connection to God, right? Prayer is that connection to God, that we're able to pray. We're not allowed to pray on Tisha B'Av. Satam tfilati, we say in Eicha. God has abandoned our prayer. You're not allowed to pray. So there's no prayer. Prayer is a connection to God. So the reason God is giving us this goodness is in order that we can not be silent. We can yizamer. We can sing, because sing is joy. Shira is joy. When I say the words, you know, boring songs, we get happy. Shema Hashem v'chaneini, Hashem ayah ozer li. Right? So that when we sing, we're happy. Below you, Hashem Elohai, God, you're God, you're my God. Lord, you're my God. How are you? Lolam odecha. I will always praise you. Now, I will always praise you. Anybody know? It's actually fascinating now. And again, thank you very much. I have to thank all my students, because, you know, I would have never examined this mizmor the way I did now if I didn't have to teach it. And so I've known how the Gemara interprets this pasuk. But until last night, it really never hit me what the meaning of the Talmud was. The Talmud, based on this pasuk, has a thing that we all do. Anybody know, I mean, maybe it's an unfair question, but anybody know how the Talmud interprets this as a source for an obligation that we all follow with joy? So I'll give you a hint. It's in Masechet Megillah, and the Gemara says that this is the source of the obligation. Chayav Adam Likrot at Hamila at Megillah Balayla, Lishnota Bayom. It's interesting, the words are different. He has to read the Megillah at night and repeat it or learn it. Lishnota can mean repeat it, Lishanein, or Mishnah, or it can mean to learn it. We read it at night, we learn it in the day. So the Gemara, because how do you know we have to read the Megillah night day? We read out Lo Yidom at night. You shouldn't be starting like Hashem Elolam Odech is in the day. So the Gemara says there we have this notion that we have to read the Megillah based on this pasuk. So it's very nice. The man is America kavod, but lo yidom. But of course, when you think of these more, it's beautiful. This means more is the story of the Megillah. Megillah Esther is this story. I meant Hester Panim. Where was Hester Panim? That happens in the time of Esther. That's the first exile. Remember, until the time of Esther, 850 years, we got prophets. We're in the land of Israel. Moshe, Yeshua, Zgenim, Nevim, Anshei Knesset Gedola, right? That period of Esther is the Anshei Knesset Gedola. That's when the transition takes place from Nevi'im to sages. But throughout that entire time period, God is guiding us. God is with us, right? Even when negative things happen, we all know God is sending us prophets. Eliyahu and Navi is telling us, don't worship the Baal. We know what's going on. God is telling us, Amos, Micha, you know, Yeshayahu, right? And all of a sudden we come to where now we're out of our land. People, are the Jewish people going to survive? Can we survive without the land of Israel? I mean, we look back and, well, of course, well, what do you mean? Believe me, if you were living in 586 BCE and you just got, exiled and destructed, you weren't so sure what was going to happen. So yes, Yirmiyahu told us God will bring us back. He had prophecy, go to Babel, live there properly, but it wasn't so simple. That's the time of Hester Panim. So I think Megillat Esther is exactly what Hapakta Mispedi L'Macholi is. God and the fear of Megillat Esther, that why did they do tshuva? The Gemara says that, very nice prophets, Yisha, very nice. When Achashverosh took off his ring and he signed the signet, he put his ring, that did more. That discussion of how many prophets is in the same, I believe it's on the same page as this, that the Gemara is discussing the prophets. Who listens to prophets? They can say, leave me alone, right? Yishayahu says, do this, do that. But when Achashverosh took off the ring, and the Jews were going to be killed, they're going to be massacred. Then they got nervous. Then they started. So that's the Hester Panim. That's the Hapachto Mispadi, the Hespeh, the fear and trepidation, this, and then God saving us. So I think that's why it's very, very beautiful how the Gemara derives the obligation to read the Megillah from this. You're going to tell me it's in the Megillah, right? You have to read it. So you could say, maybe, maybe not. Maybe that's doesn't say you have to read it every year. But also, this could be talking about you do it twice. I'm sure many people are aware that the obligation to read the Megillah is much more important than the daytime. Baruch Hashem, many Jews who don't come to shul during the year come on Purim. That's a fun holiday. That's great. That's great. They come, they bring their kids, they dress up beautiful. They can make noise. Nobody gets upset when you make noise on Purim. So, and I don't have to tell you, I think we all know, it depends on what shul, maybe you're definitely in a different community. But the people who grew up in the broader community, when they had big shuls that welcomed Orthodox, non-Orthodox, all Jews went to, all different types of Jews went to shul. So we know that there were twice as many people in shul at night on Purim than in the day. And the daytime reading is much more important. And if you look in the Mishnah has this Rav Shechter pointed this out to us, the Achronim pointed this out, that the Mishnah never, ever mentions an obligation to read the Megillah at night. And the Mishnah actually lists Megillah as one of those mitzvot. The mitzvah says you can read the Megillah all day, anytime, all day. And then the Mishnah says, and these are the other 20 mitzvot you can do all day. And then the Mishnah lists off the five mitzvot. It's less. There's this, the Omer Sphere, the mitzvot you can only do, you can do all night. So there's mitzvahs you do in the day, there's mitzvahs you do in the night. We said Shema, the Shema is the only mitzvah that's both, that do it day and night. Shofar, it's either end of day or it's at the night. Most are in the day, occasionally some are at night. So the idea of reading the Megillah at night is a later day Amora Idik innovation. It wasn't known in the time of the Mishnah. They only read the Megillah in the daytime. So that for that, perhaps they bring in this verse, as a source. Again, nighttime, because the Megillah represents also the period of night and the despair. Anyways, it could be, I don't know, I'm just making this up totally, not top of my head, I'm probably wrong, that while the Jews lived in Israel, maybe they only read the Megillah in the daytime. Because Israel, the light, you know, the point was historical. There was a time when we had great trepidation, but now we're come back down to Israel. Because according to Chazal, the purpose, the story of the Megillah led to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. That's how Chazal understand the Megillah. That's why Purim becomes such an important holiday. Even though it's not mentioned in the Megillah, according to Chazal, the whole underpinning of the Megillah is it led to the Jews coming back to Israel. Daryabish was Esther's daughter, to come back, build the Beit HaMikdash. Right, it was in between the first two temples. So once they came back to Israel, Baruch Hashem, we don't need to read the Megillah at night. And perhaps when we went to exile, I don't know if it works that. I don't know if this is right. It was because we were now in exile that we read. There's the night time. We have to read the Megillah at night also to not have despair. Yes, it looks bad now, but God is hafachta misfadi l'macholi. God will turn it around to make it positive. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, criticisms? I like criticisms the best. Okay. Critique. Okay. Anything? I'm sure there are lots of things I didn't explain well. Okay. Let's just do very briefly.
I have a question.
Yeah, absolutely. Great.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually a technical question. So when I go to Shul Shabbos morning and I get there a little late.
I don't believe you.
What I do is I'll say the Brachos, Bosh Amar, Ashrei, Yishtavach, till I'm caught up with where the Chazan is holding, because I feel like I'm going to shul, I don't want to spend the whole time just davening to myself, and what's the point? And then afterwards, like after Shmoneh Esrei or between the Kriyas, I'll go back and catch up on Sukkah Gezimra. It occurred to me a few months ago that maybe, like, is there a point of saying Sukkah Gezimra after you daven Shmoneh Esrei?
That's a machloket. Great.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. That's the machloket. So when I was young and more pious, I used to do like you do. I used to miss Sukkah Gezimra. How can I not say as Yashir? So I would say the whole thing. And as I got a little bit, you know, what can I tell you? There are many people who say, no, you should not, because Sukkah Gezimra is the warm-up. If you bring the pitcher into the game in the ninth, like, you don't do the warm-up after the game. Like, there's no point to have practice, like, after the game. Game's over. So Tfilah, Sukkah Gezimra is to prepare for Tfilah. So how do you say it? Because of this machloket, the halacha is, let's say you come to shul just before Baruch Hu. So the halacha is you're supposed to skip the entire Sukkah Gezimra. You're supposed to daven from Birchot Kriyat Shema, from Baruch. Baruch was the call to prayer. That's the call to communal prayer. So that's the time you should be davening with the minyan. So that's when you should sort of, you have to skip. Let's get and say, answer Kaddish Baruch Hu, and now I daven with the minyan. So let's say I come to shul there as Yashur. You have to put in the film. Okay, you don't have to put in the film, whatever. So you walk in right at the Yishtabach. So you skip the entire Pesukah Gezimra. So now you want to go back and say, very beautiful. These prayers are beautiful. These are beautiful things to say all the time, anytime. But the halacha is you don't say Baruch Shemar and Yishtabach, because it's a suffix bracha of the hakel. I mentioned these bracha may be added later, but they follow into the parameters. We know that when we're in doubt whether to make a bracha, we don't make extra bracha. That's right. That's why the hesitation to in bring new bracha. We don't make new bracha. So the halakh is you're not allowed to say Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Whether you want to go back and say Asher the five hallelujahs, that's beautiful. I don't want to tell you not to. It's beautiful. It's great. But it's a machloket if you really have to, because if you, I mean, every if the I guess, only fault. Everybody agrees that Pesukei Zimra to prepare for Tefillah. The question is, okay, I didn't use Pesukei Zimra as preference for Tefillah, but I still want to say Pesukei Zimra because I want to sing praises to God. Beautiful. That's wonderful. So is that obligatory? We mentioned that I started like the entire Pesukei Zimra is an act of piety. No one ever has to say it. Yes, it's beautiful to say it. We should say it slower. We should sing it. We do want to daven quickly. We don't want God looking for sins. Who is this guy? Right? But it's hard for me to say that it's obligatory to go back and say it. And the halacha doesn't say it's obligatory. We're not, you know, but it's okay. Did I answer your question? Maybe too much or too little. But yes, you should definitely skip Pesukei Zimra. What you should not do, I don't mean you, what no one should do is say Pesukei Zimra during Kriyas HaTorah. That's for sure no, right? We discussed two weeks ago, the contradiction between prayer and Talmud Torah. Rav Soloveitchik's beautiful talk on Sarah, how only a child can pray, total dependence, and total, we're children, we cry out to God, but only a critical thinker, an adult, a sophisticated mind can pray, can learn. It's two totally different things. The greatness of Sarah, the youth, only a young person, the personality can pray, and only an older person, adult. Sarah was, kept her naivete, her innocence as she aged. So, and that's why I mentioned the halacha is you're not allowed to learn right before you daven. Only halacha psuka. A simple halacha would you don't have to think about. Because I'm learning and I'm in the middle of a Tosfot and they clap on the table, time to daven. I'm thinking about Tosfot as I should be. I'm not thinking about davening. So the idea to daven while there, even psuka de zimmer, which is not really davening, it's praises, where it's Kriyas HaTorah, you should listen to Kriyas HaTorah. Because I see that sometimes in shul. People come late to shul. Kriyas HaTorah, they daven during Kriyas HaTorah. You want to say a hallelujah in between the aliyot? I also don't think that's a great idea. You never know how long it's going to be, and we're going to say half of hallelujah and then another one. I think you want to say it back right after Enk Eloheinu. You can say the whole thing. That's, if you're asking me, that's what I don't think it's appropriate, if I can say that. I'm sorry, to do it even in between aliyot, the same way the halak is, you're not really allowed to talk in between aliyot. You are allowed to talk between aliyot, but the halakha says you can, because you never know when they're going to start. And, the conversation, you don't end the conversation in the middle of the sentence because the guy said bark, but they made 5 minutes of Misha Beira. So the halakha is you shouldn't talk. That's why we shouldn't, my upsetness about the, after the pandemic, whatever, people, it's not, back to normal shul, more or less, is they brought back the Misha Beirut. During the pandemic, they skipped the Misha Beirut. I was really hoping they would continue that custom permanently. It's a waste of time. I'm sorry to express my personal opinion like this, but it's halachically problematic. It really is halachic. You're not allowed to pray on Shabbat for an age. We don't say regular Shabbat. That's what do we mean, Misha Beirut, because you have an aliyah. You get the Misha Berach. We say a Misha Berach for everybody. Misha Berach over there. We call a call a kadosh azem call kilot a kadosh shame with a shame of them and not them. That's the Misha Berach. One Misha Berach. So I don't know, Misha, because people like Misha Berach. Everybody gets it. They want to make Misha Berach. So I was hoping that they would keep them canceled. No. My hopes were dashed. But the other reason Misha Berachs are not good is because people talk. Absolutely, people talk. I don't blame them. So they talk. So they continue talking during Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, I'm sorry for that very long answer, but does that help?
Oh, I guess the answer is come on time to shul.
Oh, yeah, that's the answer, but that answer doesn't always work. But yeah. Okay, let's just quickly review. I guess we'll have to redo Baruch Shemar. We'll start next week. So, okay, we discussed already a little bit how to say Pesukei Zimra slowly as the first adopting, whether the Al-Chet should speak it quickly or not. It's a fascinating discussion. And then we just went through the sort of the structure of Mizmor Shir. It may have been composed by David HaMelech for a particular cause, a particular reason. But for us, saying it thousands of years later, we have to individualize. And that's what all prayer is. We always have to individualize everything. That's what H. Rosh has. You're taking a concept and you're applying it. That's why there can be 10 different reasons for the destruction of the temple. Because the rabbis are not interested in the destruction of the temple. They're interested in the message we can learn from the destruction temple. So every community, every generation has different messages that one generation is strong here and the other generation is weak there. So we have to change. That's what the Gemara is saying. They don't know. There's no lama. It's lama. And then we discuss, but God heals us. It's sometimes hard to realize. We need permission. We need textual permission. But once God gives us the textual permission, it becomes an obligation. The Ramban has this wild idea. I think the Ibn Ezra do that. great, 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 great pious people, none of whom are alive today. That's what they all say, all the poskim say, nobody. Theoretically, don't need to go to a doctor for internal illness. They can pray to God. But we don't have that. But conception, but that, I think it's important to know this, Ramban. It reminds us that deep down, it's from a theological, religious perspective, we're supposed to understand, ultimately, it is God. Why does sometimes a doctor give two patients the same care and attention and medicine? I look at COVID. Why did this one die? Why did the 2% of the people who died, who got COVID, really die? And the other 98% were fine. Doctors cannot figure it out at all, right? Why this one, that one? They have no idea. It's a mystery. Why some people? So they have certain factors. They haven't figured it out. So for a Jew, that's God. That God has his ways. We don't understand. But we can ask, what can we learn? Lema, what can we learn from that? And then we have to, don't get too confident. God heals us. But the stock market's never going to crash. I can keep going. I can do whatever I want. Remember, God, there's Hester Panim. God sometimes hides his face from the Jewish people. And that's the scariest thing. And that's Esther. Megillat Esther is Hester Panim the first time, and that's why the last verse, the Man Yisomercha Kavod Lo Yidom, that's where the Talmud derives the obligation to read the Megillah at night, and day and night, right, the Amuna, night is faith. Our job is to bring light to the world by Hior, God created light, and that's the first thing we have to do, and then hopefully God, as the Gemara says, that God in the future will turn our Hesped, the Machol, in the future God will make a dance, will sing the dance together, and God will be in the middle of the circle. The truth of the matter is, there's always something. I always say, whenever you review, there's always new things. And we'll end with this, hakafot on Sukkos, right? So what do we do? What do we do, Oshana? So every day, we put the Sefer Torah in the middle, and we go in a circle. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful essay, why a circle is no head, no tail, all Jews are united, everybody's equal with this. It's a beautiful notion of unity, unlike a square, right? A circle. So we have a circle, and the Torah, everybody's, I mean, we don't do it in an exact circle, but in a circle, everybody's equidistant to the middle. The Torah is the middle of our life. What do we do on Simchas Torah? We take the Torah and we march around. Who's in the middle? So the Rav says, so beautiful, so simple, but we never think about it. God's in the middle. The Torah and God are not the same. People can observe Torah and forget about God. The prophets rail about that all the time. It's a habit. I just keep mitzvah. You know, I don't think about God. I keep the Torah. It's my habit. That's how I grew up. I have to think about God. It's a religious experience. So it's not enough just to have the Torah in the middle. So after dancing around the Torah, on Simchat Torah, we dance around God. This is the Machol. This is Simchat Torah. The Man Yimekar Kavod, right? But Tazreini Simcha. God will guard us in Simcha. So that's Simchat Torah, where God is in the middle. This is our notion of, this is us playing out what the Gemara in Tanit said. We should merit that should happen in the near future. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Will there be a Zoom tikkun on Shavuot? Well, not on, you mean before Shavuot. You mean next Friday I should talk about Shavuot instead of the Seder? That's an interesting idea. I didn't think of it. You know what, maybe we do have the regular Shurim this week. I forget who's giving the parsha shiur. I have to check. It isn't me. But, you know, Marty Lux and Rabbi Shulman, they're all speaking this week. Mark Shapiro. Yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. So maybe we'll throw in. We'll thank you very much, Aviel. Will people come to an extra Shavuot shiur? I mean, that's not a fair question, but it's a good idea. We'll keep next Friday, please God, a regular shiur on the Siddur, Bar Shamar, praising that, and then maybe we'll throw in an extra shiur during the week. I'll figure out when on Shavuot. Okay, how does that sound?
Good.
Tova, how does that sound? I can ask you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
I can pick on my sister. You know, I can't ask anybody else. That's not nice. Okay, all right, everybody. Yes.
In the beginning, when Gavin HaMelech prays, he thanks God that he was forgiven. How do we know? We don't know sometimes if we're forgiven or not.
We don't know. Well, how do we know David HaMelech was forgiven?
We don't know.
Right, we never know exactly, but the rest of his life, the trajectory said that God did forgive him. I don't remember now in the Nevi'im if anything is said that directly. My bad, I just know. But
the fact of God,
the Mashiach comes from David. Shaul lost his kingdom. David didn't lose his kingdom. Mashiach ben David. We Malchu Beit David. That's what we pray for every day. So that's the proof. And he didn't personally build the Beit HaMikdash. That was because he was a warrior, not because of the sin with Bathsheba. But Shlomo HaMelech built it. And the fact that our Tehillim includes the rather Baruch HaKodesh Mizmor Shir Chanukah to David, we ascribe them with David. So that's exactly the point. The fact that he could do that and he could prepare the Beit HaMikdash demonstrates, even though God didn't come out and say so, God, you know, that his sins were forgiven. He did tshuva. And we know he did tshuva. He admitted his sin right away. Shaul gave excuses. When you give excuses, God doesn't forgive so fast. When you admit sin. Yes, Sanji, you want to say something?
You said, we don't know if we're forgiven, though. Hashem, as soon as he said chatat l'Hashem, Navi answered, Gam Hashem he'evir chatatcha, Hashem is taking away the sin lo tamud. So he knew that there was an aspect of forgiveness there.
But yeah. How do we know?
We don't know. We today in 2022 have no way to know. That's right.
What do we do?
Shuv yom achad lifnei mitatcha. I mean, we believe that we don't even know what it means to accept tshuva, right? Why do the righteous suffer sometimes, right? Sometimes even we're righteous. We didn't sin. We today, we don't have any prophecy. That we have a little bit of Hester Panim, but the Gemara says, Chacham adif minavi. The sages are better than the prophets because we have to work it on our own. A child needs a prophet. A child needs a parent to tell them what to do. When the child goes to their age, the child's on their own. Hopefully they can turn to their parents for advice, but the child makes their own decision. That's maturity. When my kids disagree, we have a discussion about something, my kids disagree, that's great. It means they're thinking on their own, and you want that. You want kids to, some people don't, but you want people to think on their own. So prophecy, we were babies. The first 1,000 years of Jewish history, we needed prophets. We didn't know how's a bunch of snakes going to set up. It takes a long time. After 1,000 years, God said, enough of prophets. And the Lord says, Chacham adif minavi, right? And Navi is not allowed to, Torah lo b'shamayim, that also applies to the prophets. That's in Masech and Megillah.
But what do we do
today?
That's
the whole discussion. Again, I'm Purim. How can we have Purim and Navi? No, Navi can introduce all things. Navi can't pass Malacha. I'm sorry? Yeah, so Nevuah was needed. In other words, we always, and yes, on a certain level, it's a punishment. We don't have Nevuah. But on another level, it's an act of the Jewish people are ready to go on their own. Without prophets, we're going to follow our sages. We don't have to be handheld anymore. The Rambam seems to have a different take, I would say, because the Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah talks about what it means to be a Navi, the intellectual period. I mean, believing to be a Navi, you know, the Rambam's religious ideal, you know, of great philosopher and a master, you know, he has a very different take, his whole religious outlook. So the Rambam sees Nevuah as sort of the highest expression, the highest attainment that a person can do in their relationship to God. But the way I'm sort of interpreting, like Esther's the last of the prophets, that's how the Gemara understands it, right? And it's not necessarily a bad thing. In other words, we need to be, we have to figure it out on our own. God's mission now to the Jewish people is not to rely on prophets. So we don't know. God doesn't speak to us anywhere, right? We have to do and whatever. We do not know. Okay? All right. I do have to go teach in
Good job. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Hopefully we'll see you have a Leap Tech Sunday morning, and hopefully we'll learn with you in the near future. Please invite a friend, and thank you very much, and Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.